The top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
This is the top five at five on the Rokan Show.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy.
Number five.
Checking in at number five. Is that's what they just said, so I don't know why I have to repeat myself there.
It's good to have repetition, just to make sure, you know.
pay attention to your own show, Rob. The president sought last night to calm jittery Americans after the attacks in San Bernardino, California. Primetime address. Now, I got to tell you, I've made this analogy a couple times in the last week or so. If you ever get nervous on an airplane because there's bumpy air or whatever it happens to be, there's a noise you don't like. Mm-hmm. You look at the flight attendants. Right?
That's so true. I always do that. Right? I'm like, okay, they're cool with it. They're fine.
Right.
They're not even putting the beverage tray away, so you know, whatever. It's good.
Right. If they're not worried, you shouldn't be worried. I feel the same way about the presidency. Mm-hmm. If the president is addressing us in a primetime speech on all the networks from the Oval Office, that means an asteroid is heading toward the Earth, right? God. Like in all the movies.
I hate to think that that's true, but it did cross my mind that there's an obvious need for this. He wasn't just calming us. He and the FBI director before him on Friday were both saying, hey, let's be vigilant. Let's look around us and see, because these cells are not necessarily connected to the actual terrorists like ISIS necessarily in terms of being directed anymore. So you don't know.
ISIL does not speak for Islam. They are thugs and killers, part of a cult of death. And they account for a tiny fraction of more than a billion Muslims around the world, including millions of patriotic Muslim Americans who reject their hateful ideology. Moreover, the vast majority of terrorist victims around the world are Muslim. If we're to succeed in defeating terrorism, we must enlist Muslim communities as some of our strongest allies, rather than push them away through suspicion and hate.
He does go on, though, to say, and I think that this is important, he does go on to say, though, that within the Muslim community in the United States and around the world, that they do have to deal with jihadism, because it is an aberration of the it's a violent aberration by obviously a very, very small minority, but very, very violent and effective and bloodless and ruthless group of people here who are willing to do anything to cause mayhem, to die, to and cause death along with their own. So he says that they must deal with this without excuse.
Right.
Which I thought was a good thing, too.
He also talked about the no-fly list people, how they are allowed to buy guns in America even though they can't fly, and he was calling for stricter gun control laws.
Right. By the way, Donald Trump...
Oh, gosh.
Has responded to the president, and he is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. So he's going the other way. As much as the president was saying, hey, let's everybody get along, Donald Trump is like, no.
He said that also includes, by the way, Donald Trump did, yes, it includes Americans who are currently abroad, maybe on holiday, that kind of thing. They can't return either, those people.
Okay. He goes on to say, according to Pew Research, among others, there's a great hatred toward Americans by large segments of the Muslim population. Most recently, a poll for the Center of Security Policy released data showing 25% of those polled agreed that violence against Americans here in the United States is justified as part of global jihad, he says. And he said 51% polled agree that Muslims in America should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia law. That's an international poll, though.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a weird thing to quote.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it's nothing. Like, I don't. Oh, God. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he's not getting enough attention. So he has to say, look at me. I've got something really out there to say now. Another thing.
I mean, I don't think that necessarily answers it. What is the next thing? Encampment? Is that going to be his next deal? That's going to have to be what it is. I'm surprised on the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, he's not calling for that. He's missed a peg here. He's missed an opportunity.
He and Hillary Clinton are having at it right now on Twitter about it. She's calling it divisive, and he's saying, no, you missed the point. This is about safety and security of America.
Hey, his poll numbers are going up. This could be the moment for him, actually. The funny thing is, if he gets past 40% in the Republican race, there's no one's going to catch him.
Yeah.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
FBI Assistant Director in Charge David Bowditch provided more information today on the San Bernardino suspects, Syed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik.
Many of you had concerns, or questions rather, about did the female radicalize the male in this case? The answer is we still do not know, but I will say this. As the investigation has progressed, we have learned and believe that both subjects were radicalized and have been for quite some time. Now, how did that happen? The question we're trying to get at is how did that happen and by whom and where did that happen? And I will tell you right now, we don't know those answers at this point.
This, listen to what he said about this. This, by the way, is very disturbing.
The next thing I want to mention, it's come up already. Yes, we do have evidence that both of these subjects did some participated in target practice in some ranges within the metro area or within the Los Angeles area. That target practice in one occasion was done within days of this event.
I guess troubling, but I mean, it's so hard. It's like, I guess he's suspecting that maybe somebody who had seen this or known about it should have called in, things like that. This, while complaints about, you know, about people going after Muslims are rising as well. It's like doing anything while Muslim right now seems to be considered suspect. And I don't know. I don't know where it comes in. I don't know where you can balance the two things.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Sarah Ginder standing by with the WGN Traffic Travel Spots, brought to you by Marion Joy Rehabilitation Hospital. When recovering from a stroke, brain injury, or spinal cord injury, you do have a choice for inpatient and outpatient rehabilitation. Trust your physician-led team of experts at Marion Joy. Visit, insist on marionjoy.org. Sarah.
All right. Watch for delays in Skokie on Skokie Boulevard, just south of Gulf Road. A car crashed into a mattress store. So thankfully, no major injuries involved with this, but there is a delay because of it. Also, at North and Harlem, a pedestrian.
By the way, if you're going to crash into anything, a mattress store seems like a really good idea,
lots
doesn't
of padding
it?
Padding there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to, that's the one place.
Not right. A bad go.
Sorry.
No worries. All right.
Top 5-5 continues. But first, Anna, why don't you tell me something important?
I have something very important to talk about, and here it is. Give your loved ones the gift of knowledge this holiday with Chicago Tribune digital subscription. How about that for a holiday gift-giving idea? Knowledge is power. Visit chicagotribune.com/gifting today.
Checking in at
number three.
It's another dash cam video showing a deadly police-involved shooting in the city. This time it is Ronald Johnson, who is running away from police with a gun, according to the police. And today, Anita Alvarez went to the microphones and to her video screen to prove that this was not a murder case. This is dissimilar from the other stuff in the news right now. And she said that her office did take into account everything, including the officer shot from behind. But they said that this was an armed and dangerous guy that could have turned and shot the police behind him.
These two officers were observed Mr. Johnson with a gun, and they drew their weapons and ordered Johnson to stop and drop the weapon. Mr. Johnson slowed down and indicated that he would comply with the officer's orders. One of the officers reholstered his weapon to free up his hands to place Johnson under arrest, but Johnson was able to break free of this officer's grasp, and the officer fell to the ground.
All right, so that's when they pursued, and then he was shot. Now, the lawyers for the family of Ronald Johnson disagree completely. They're filing a federal civil rights investigation, saying that the Independent Police Review Authority only interviewed two witnesses and never spoke to the police officer himself.
Officer Hernandez, the shooter in this case, has not been contacted by the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. And she has the nerve to say that she relied on the IPRA investigation. Officer Hernandez has not been asked by IPRA to give a statement. He has not been contacted by IPRA. IPRA says they were waiting for the state to let them know what their investigation would have. The state says they're waiting for IPRA. This is a joke. It's the blind leading the blind.
And those are troubling facts, if true.
Well, yes and no. Because when you see the case that was made by the state's attorney here as to why there was no, you see the video, you see the 911, you hear the 911 calls, you hear the police traffic, and you see all of the other circumstances around this, and then she said the statements by other police officers and witnesses and Mr. Johnson's compatriots in the car. that it all added up to one thing. And now the attorney, Michael Oppenheimer, who we had on the show last week for the family, says he did depositions with those people and then he got different answers than the police got. Well, that, I mean, once the... I think in a deposition, you are going to get different answers than a criminal investigation.
Yeah, I just think it's still, you still wonder why IPRA, the Independent Police Review Authority, still didn't think that this was something worthy of their investigation. And when you investigate it thoroughly, you've got to talk to the officer who fired the shot. And if that did not happen, well, it's another example of a question that just seems pretty obvious. And also, in this, we can't forget that the city did not want to release this videotape either. It doesn't mean this officer's guilty. It certainly doesn't. It just starts to make you think about the way the city has been handling these cases.
Well, I don't think the city wants to be in the business of... I think there's
a Freedom of Information Act, though. There's a reason why they should be released and have to be released by law. Because they're a matter of public record, and you know that as well as anyone does, right?
Oh, yeah, I do know that, but they're not going to volunteer it.
Well, but once they've been asked, and asked over and over and over again, and there's a feeling that they are actually keeping it back, withholding it from the public, which
that's
is
true.
What we both believe, what most people believe in this case and Laquan case. It's just that part stinks.
All right. And just very quickly, let's lighten the mood.
Okay. Number two.
Holly came from Miami, FLA.
Lou Reed's classic Walk on the Wild Side was about Holly Woodlawn, a real person from the New York underground in the 1970s.
Oh.
A transgender star of Andy Warhol movies. She died last night.
Oh.
She was 69 years old. That's sort of...
happy, sad.
Yeah, happy and sad all at the same time. I didn't know that was actually true.
I didn't
true.
Know that was true either.
Number one.
Stephen Colbert took on Star Wars while he was hosting the Kennedy Center Honors Gala in Washington, D.C. last night. The George Lucas, Carole King, Rita Moreno, Cicely Tyson, and Saji Ozawa.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was the correct pronunciation. Sorry to Saji and his parents and... everyone, remember the family for that. I wish I could help you. I really don't know how to say anything.
They were all honored.
George changed the cinematic landscape of America, and his movies have given us some of the film's most iconic characters. Darth Vader, Indiana Jones, and of course Chewbacca, the character that answered the age-old question, what would happen if a dog and a Bigfoot had a baby?
There you go. All right, let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.